Okay, here we go, guys. This is it. This is it. I'm excited today because I decided to start doing a podcast. I've been wanting to do a podcast for a while, because I don't wait and I don't plan things out that much. I just started doing it because I don't have any fancy equipment. I literally just have a Blue Snowball microphone, which you can see right here. I only have that and my laptop. And I was like, I don't know if you need fancy equipment for a podcast or not. But I figured if you have a good enough mic, why not? I wasn't going to put myself on camera, but I figured what I'm going to try to do is have a video podcast of this and then extract the audio so I have an audio podcast. Because it's a podcast, but I want video and audio, so I'll figure that out after I upload the video. But here we have had the Inkcast. I decided to call it the Inkcast because ink is something that I like to use in my company name. Because my company name is Ocoin Inc. Over here is my website, ocoininc.com. And that's the branding that I've been using. And I want to stay consistent with that. So here we go, the Inkcast Screenwriting Podcast, Episode 1. Not another screenwriting podcast. I know, you're like, okay, we have enough of these things. Why do we need another one? Well, mine's not going to be anything different. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be just yet, because I'm doing this off the cuff, because I'm not really the best at planning everything out. Like, even as a writer, I don't outline that much. I mean, I just threw this little thing together in PowerPoint, which I think is a pretty powerful program to use. Like, combining PowerPoint with capturing your screen and a decent mic, I mean, that's all you need. And if you hear any music in the background, it's actually because I was playing Spider-Man on PS4, and it's a friggin' amazing game, so please play that if you're a gamer at all. I mean, this is about screenwriting, but I'll probably include some game writing stuff just because I love video games so much, and the writing in video games nowadays is amazing. But yes, it's another screenwriting podcast. But what makes mine different? Not that much, really. Because I'm just still trying to figure it out, just like you. I've never sold any screenplays. The closest to success that I ever got was some producer once was interested in something that I wrote, and he optioned it, but nothing ever came of that. But it was encouraging, and the producer himself said that I was a good writer, and if I kept at it, I could do it for a living. That was a few years ago, but it's still one of the most encouraging things I've ever heard from anyone. But a little about me. Well, I am a graduate of, I'm a graduate of the writing program at VFS. Am I saying this is the best writing program in the world? Not necessarily, but that's just where I went. This is just the program that I chose to take, and it helped me a lot. I learned a lot about it, about screenwriting. I learned a decent amount on my own. But film school really helped take me over the top and help me learn exactly what I needed to learn. And, you know, BFS is a pretty good pedigree of alumni. I took their writing for film and television. Endgames wasn't a thing, but that's like a new thing now they added since I left, which I'm interested in seeing. Because there's 6 terms, and yeah, so before it used to just be film and TV, but now they have games writing. That means halfway through the year, you have to decide if you want to be film, TV, or game writer. Why did I chose film? Game wasn't an option, but I'd probably still choose film anyways, even if it was an option. Anyways, yeah, so that's where I went to film school, Vancouver Film School. And I do recommend it, but I'm not saying you have to go there, you can go anywhere. Over here is my website. I try to keep it pretty up to date. I like to do articles about screenwriting structure, and I do video reviews sometimes, and I post things on YouTube, and I have a Skillshare class that I've been working on. This is something that this is a work in progress, but there's a link to it over here on my website. Yeah, so I need to put that in a better spot, I think. It's pretty low down, no one's gonna see that, but this is a link to my structure class, which I'm still working on. So that's something else that I'm working on besides this podcast, and on top of the writing that I'm doing for me and for clients, and the writing that I do for my website and for other things. But yes, this site's loading really, really, really slow right now, but this is kind of like what my screenwriting structure class looks like if this thing was to load. Yeah, here it is. So I have 23 students, which is cool to say that I have students, but this is about the entire structure of a screenplay and how it breaks down, and I haven't finished this yet. But it's something that I'm working on top of all the other things that I'm working on. And there's me. So yeah, I went to Vancouver Film School. There's me and Kevin Smith down there. That was from when he visited Calgary and a couple years ago. Me and my brother saw him and Jay and Silent Bob. It's pretty funny. Well, him and Jay and Silent Bob. I mean him and Silent and Jay, because he's Silent Bob. So yeah, that's just a little about that. So what else? See, as you can tell, I do things off the cuff. So the short format, I don't know, a short little intro, and I have some music involved, and news, whatever the news. Screenwriting news is like it's not like a daily thing, really. Like, to find new screenwriting news every day or every week. Every week, I'd probably find something. I mean, this week, I could talk about the Oscar winners, but the only reason I'm not is because I didn't see either of the movies that won, because Parasite won for Best Original, and Jojo Rabbit won for Best Adapted, but I've seen neither of those yet, so I don't want to talk about it until I've seen it. But, you know, an episode intro, any weekly news that you cover, because this hopefully will be a weekly thing, and then a specific topic for each episode. Possible topics. Monthly screenplay sales. That's some information that you can't find online. Talking about the different parts of writing. Theme, character, story, and structure. Those are like, I guess, the four biggest topics you could talk about screenwriting. You could break them down further easily. No problem. So yeah, that's just my short little intro to this first episode. This first episode of the Inkcast, episode 1, not another screenwriting podcast. I almost wanted to call it that. I almost wanted to call the show Not Another Screenwriting Podcast, but I didn't want to have an annoying name like NASP. I'd call it NASP. But then I call it the Inkcast because, like I said, I want to continue using the ink, the Coin Ink branding to maintain consistency across all the different online platforms I use, because I'm everywhere online. I put myself everywhere. I think you need to put yourself out there as a screenwriter. Too many screenwriters are afraid to be online, or afraid to have a website, or don't want to, or they think that quote-unquote smooching other people is like gross or scummy. I don't know, not like smoozing, but I don't know, as a screenwriter it's hard because a lot of us are like natural introverts, because we know we spend a lot of time writing on our own, so going to like a social event to try to sell yourself isn't exactly easy for a lot of people like us. Like, if I was an actor, it'd be easier. But as strictly as a writer, it's not exactly something you want to do. So, I actually decided to talk about this week because I went online and I found information about spec sales for January 2020. Like maybe I should do a video about the big spec sales of 2019 eventually, but I think this would be a pretty decent topic for today. So we're gonna pause there. I'll edit this part out. Okay. So here we have the January 2020 script sales. This is through scriptpipeline.com. This is actually a competition website. But I just Googled script sales from 2020 and this is what came up. So here are the most notable script sales from 2020. So I'm guessing there's more, but. So the first one is interesting because I guess if they're going to include previous script pipeline winners, they would have them first just to promote themselves. But because script pipeline is a legit contest, and the winner, Evan Doherty, from a couple years ago, he made a pretty huge sale, like a land, like not landmark, but I forget the exact amount, but it was like several million, which is a few years ago, just spec sales that are like in the several millions, more than just one or two, doesn't really happen that much anymore. But Evan Doherty, who wrote Evan Snow White and the Huntsman, will script the Anaconda remake, which is, you know, this is how desperate they're getting now. They're remaking Anaconda. Okay, I mean, that exactly wasn't the hugest hit in the world when it came out, but they're still gonna remake it because why not? Now we have another script pipeline winner. Tripper Clancy, never heard of this guy. Awful name. Just the worst name I've ever heard. Tripper Clancy. He sounds like a stripper's sidekick or something. But we'll look this guy up. Tripper Clancy. Yeah, he looks like a Tripper Clancy. Oh, that's a see that's that picture right there. Yeah, this picture right here sums up this guy's name perfectly. Some dirty, creepy dude with a gross mustache. Hi, I'm Tripper Clancy. Yeah, this is pretty much exactly what I would picture Tripper Clancy to look like. Way to go, man. Okay, so he won the script pipeline. I don't know if he won with Stuber, but Stuber came out last summer with Kamal Nanjiani. And Batista, Dave Batista. I never saw that movie, but I didn't hear anything much good about it. Titled Die Hard, which is, I don't know. Well, yeah, it's called Die Hard and Kevin Hart's in it, so I already don't want to see it because I cannot stand Kevin Hart. He is so effing annoying. Rian Johnson, Knives Out sequel, not a big surprise, though. I mean, I saw the movie and I liked it. Definitely not sequel worthy. I don't, that doesn't need to be a sequel at all. But whatever. It made money, so everyone's like, well, we gotta make a sequel. Whatever, you're creepy Clancy, Tripper Clancy, go away. See what else? Jennifer Harrington, don't know who that is. It's the end of Liz as we know it. Jennifer Harrington's sci-fi action comedy. See, if I Googled that, what would I come up with? Would I see Jennifer Harrington or any of the information about this film? Yeah, so Sony bought Jennifer Harrington's. And what does high six mean? A high six-figure thump. Oh, so it's like, what does that mean? It doesn't give you the exact answer then. Sony buys Jennifer Harrington spec script in a high six-figure deal. Jake Kasdan to produce. is end of Liz as we know it, in a highly competitive situation. Sony beat out multiple parties who are interested in paying a high six-figure sum. A significant deal in today's... Yes, exactly. See, high six-figure sales for screenplay specs do not happen anymore. And when they do, they're involved with people who already have history and, you know, like, this is Jake Kasdan. It's fucking Kasdan's son. Son of Lawrence Kasdan. Duh. If you're the son of Lawrence Kasdan, you're obviously going to be involved in Hollywood. There it is. The only way to make it in Hollywood is be the kid of a famous kid, parent, or already be established. Yes, I'm being discouraging. Get over it. That guy's funny looking. Look at me. Look at my hair. Alright. Oh yeah, so Jake Kasdan directed... Yeah, both Jumanji movies were pretty huge. I didn't see the second one yet, but I annoyingly actually kind of liked the first one. Much as I didn't want to because I just can't stand Kevin Hart. It was a funny-ass movie. I mean, it's very broad comedy, but it did what it had to do, and it did it well. So, who is this Harrington woman? Jennifer Harrington. She most recently worked on the Apple TV documentary Dear, in which she served as co-producer. She's rep by 3 Arts Entertainment. Okay. So what else we got? Robert Sidis Anselmo Latina. She's like, that's hard to say. Robert Sidis Anselmo Latina, female driven. Wow. So try saying that at all. I just can't even say that sentence. Robert Sidis Anselmo... I can't say it. Sorry, guys. I'm mental. Can't do it. So some spec drama called Tia's found a home with Will Packer production. Eva Longoria's unbelievable... Yeah, she put her name in it. And Universal Pictures. Robert Sidis. This guy's name is terrible too. Okay, so Robert Sidis. What else we got? Imagine Entertainment. Joint effort and Paramount Pictures acquired the action thriller The Fixer, based on an original pitch by Tyler Bradley Cooper? Oh wait, never mind. By Tyler whatever. Period. Bradley Cooper and Todd Phillips separate to produce. And Ron Howard to direct. Well damn. They said this is based on a pitch. So that means this guy even really sell anything yet, or he just sold a pitch? So if I googled Tyler whatever and The Fixer in half an hour when this thing finally loads, because alright, let's see what we got here. Nothing about The Fixer. But Tyler Hizel. Oh, okay, I had to leave the L of his name by accident. Let's try it again. Don't do that. There you go. Variety. Variety has all these kind of deals. I should just go to Variety for this stuff. Variety and the Hollywood Reporter, they're the ones that cover a lot of the script sales and or just, you know, features that are in production and whatnot. Leonard is just not aging well at all. Sorry, Ron Howard. Beautiful Mind director? They're really gonna go back to that? That's weird. Why would they introduce Ron Howard as the Beautiful Mind director? He's directed so many things before or since. That's the one they picked. Something else about writers over here. So Ron Howard is supposed to direct The Fixer. Howard's production banner, Imagine Entertainment. Imagine Entertainment. I thought that was... Oh, that's DreamWorks. DreamWorks is... I was thinking of Steven Spielberg's. That's DreamWorks. So, based on the original pitch by Tyler Hizzell, the film is based on the incredible story of a disgraced FBI agent who, at the height of the Cold War, is tapped by the CIA to lead a ragtag team of CIA operative and Chicago mobsters on an unlikely mission to assassinate Fidel Castro. Well, I don't know. Alright. Oh, that's just the stuff about Buddy down there who won the Oscars. I didn't watch the Oscars, I had to work. I wasn't able to see them. So that's The Fixer. So that's gonna be, who knows, when these things come out years from now. The Man from Toronto. The Man from Toronto is set up with Escape Artists and Sony. Action comedy written by Robbie Fox, based on the story by Fox and Jason Blumenthal. Jason Statham, Kevin Hart. Ugh, God. The Man from Toronto. What can we find about that? Man from the Toronto. Don't. Robbie Fox. Well, it's already a movie from the 1930s, so we'll see what this version's about. Based on the story. Robbie Fox. Let's see, Kevin Hart's The Man from Toronto movie is an action comedy. So yeah, these are all the 2020 script sales. I mean, I could go over the past year, but maybe in another video, because I figured this is the most recent ones, and, you know, it's interesting to see what is selling. It could give you an idea of what to work on. I mean, again, not to discourage anyone from writing what they're already writing, but it's just good to know what is selling, what kind of films are selling. People always want to buy biopics, that's for sure. Biopics are always popular. I thought I clicked on that. I need a new mouse. This is the Ghetto Cast. The Ghetto Podcast. Comedian and Jason Statham are in talks to star in the mistaken identity caper about a man who winds up sharing an Airbnb with an assassin. Gee, I wonder which one's going to be the assassin and which one's going to be the See, that's the thing. Obviously, without even knowing, he will be the assassin and he'll just be Kevin Hart because he always just plays Kevin Hart, aka Mr. Annoying Guy who never shuts up. That's funny. This has absolutely zilch to do with the 1933 rom-com, which was what came up when I first searched this. Deadline reports that Hart and Statham are both still in talks to join forces in the movie about a deadly assassin known as the Man from Toronto. It's scheduled to open in November 20th, as in later this year? It's still in talks, and they haven't even started making it yet. And it's supposed to come out this year. Shh. It's going to be directed by The Hitman's Bodyguard, which I didn't see. Yeah, will it actually shoot in Toronto? I don't know. What is he basing this on? Anyways, script sales. So that's about the Man from Toronto. So what else we got? Lionsgate and Burr Productions, Patrick Aison to script the dark comedy Milk, Mother I'd Like to Kill. An idea from by Dan Trachtenberg. Dan Trachtenberg directed some of the Saw movies, I believe. I remember seeing him talking about it online. 10 years ago, almost, or more. If it's the same guy, I think it is. He directed a bunch of the Saw movies. I believe it's the same guy. I don't know. Mother I'd Like to Kill. Is there anything about that online yet? Okay, never mind. Then this isn't the guy I think it is. Never mind. Wait. This guy still looks familiar, though. Man, I'm wondering if it's the guy who I think it is. Yeah, he did Cloverfield Lane and The Boys, and The Boys is awesome. If you've seen The Boys, that's really good. Man, I'm wondering if this is the guy that I used to watch a gaming podcast with. I think it might be. It's weird. I never even, realized that. I used to watch some podcasts, video gaming podcasts. I don't know. I don't want to go through that right now. Mother I'd Like to Kill. Is this a thing? Slash Film. Okay. Slash Film's talking about it. Yeah, this wouldn't be a good audio podcast. I should be doing separately, but I want a new video. With the outstanding 10 Cloverfield thing, I don't know about that. Dan Trachtenberg made his feature directorial debut. They tried to bring him in on an Uncharted. They've been trying to make an Uncharted film forever based on their really, really amazing game series, which I've been playing with number 4 on my PS4. The logline describes Milk as being another former assassin movie. Okay, so assassin movies, they seem to be the thing right now. Assassin comedy movies. Manage the pressures of being a new mom while avoiding her former co-workers who have been sent to kill her. It's easy to picture this as a goof gear comedy at first. But in the hands of Trachtenberg, this could be more of a dark comedy with some strong action. Kristen Burr. She's the producer and development executive. So it's a motherly spin of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I guess. All right. So, assassin movies. That seems to be a thing. Three black dot required. Phil Gillett's horror script, Clown Apocalypse. Now, that sounds like a B movie or something. So, it's interesting that something with a terrible title, B movie title like that, is. Getting any kind of sale. What is it, a franchise? Oh, another Transformers movie. Big deal. Disney has tapped Robert Zemeckis and Chris Weiss to rewrite Rice and Simon Ferrante's live-action remake of Pinocchio. Well, obviously they're going to do a live-action Pinocchio because they're going to do a live-action of every movie they've ever done. See, live-action remake of Bambi. Mean Girls is a go with Paramount. What does that mean? Tina Fey will write the script based on her Broadway musical. They turned that into a musical? So they're going to write another script for what, a new movie? Why is it based on her Broadway musical instead of the original film that she wrote in 2004? I didn't know it was based on a self-help book. Just waiting for this to load. Deadline. Eli Roth and Three Black Dot developing horror franchise Clown Apocalypse. On a 360-degree horror project, which will encompass. So it's like a whole thing, it's not just a film. So this is a tag. If I hit, click the tag for Clown Apocalypse, we'll see what comes up. We'll encompass a 3D, a feature film, video game, live event. So they're doing everything. Well, this guy was involved with Love, Death, and Robots, which is awesome. If you've ever seen that on Netflix, it's like modern day heavy metal. Interesting. So it's not just a film, it's everything. They're basically trying to turn it into everything. That's something else. So, in addition to the film, Three Black Dot is simultaneously developing and financing a video game, which is already far into production and overseen by the head's firm's head of content innovation. A live event experience and merchandise are also in development. The intent here is to have audiences engage in the world Clown Apocalypse through the film, a multiplayer console game with an AR-driven mobile component. So that means, like, possibly, like, kind of like Pokemon Go in a way-ish, maybe. Although I don't, I can't, I forget how I really didn't play Pokemon Go enough to like see how AR driven it was. Okay, the Clown Apocalypse thing is loading for too long. 101 Studios and Mercury Entertainment. Aaron Godot, Gita Pulapilli, don't know, David Armstrong's investigation into the Sackler family, the sole owners of the OxyContin manufacturer Purdue Pharma. Whatever, that sounds like a Sean Durkin. So they have like a lot of stuff in here. What do they got? Megan McConnell to write the Captain Marvel sequel for Disney. Well, obviously Brie Larson. Yeah, no one likes her anymore. She just got so annoying last year. National Treasure. Chris Brammer, screenwriter, Bad Boys for Life, will return to write the third Bad Boys sequel. Right, so it'd be Bad Boys 4 then. I haven't seen this one yet, but people are saying it's actually pretty good, so I don't know. Mo McRae, Sarah Kelly Kaplan's dark comedy thriller, A Lot of Nothing Has Found a Home. Chris Brammer, screenwriter, Bad Boys for Life, will return to write the third Bad Boys sequel for Sony, Columbia, and Jerry. And he'll also write the next National Treasure. I don't think there's been a new National Treasure film in like 10 years. I wonder if Nick Cage will be in that. It'd be interesting. Tracy Oliver and Dwayne Perkins will adapt the 2018 Comedy Central short, The Blackening, for Media Rights Capital, Story Company, and Artists First. Perkins will also wrote the original short. Okay. Alright, well, I don't know. That's me covering some script sales. This is my first episode, so wasn't too sure of what to cover. Then I realized that, you know, there's script sales all the time, so it'd be cool to go over that and just to see. I mean, maybe that's something I can do every episode, just do a shortened version of it. See what notable sales happened during the past week or so, and then, you know, talk about something else. But this is me doing my off the cuff beginning of my first episode. And I think I'll leave it at that for now. But for future episodes, episode 2 or whatever, maybe I'll do more screen sales and talk about something to do with one of these things. You know, I need to have a better format, obviously. But I wanted to start a podcast. And I'm going to turn this into an audio as well. It's video too. But for now, this is me signing off. First episode of the Inkcast. Episode 1, Not Another Screenwriting Podcast. It's also going to be available on all podcast systems that exist, whatever ones they may be. I'll figure that out once this is uploaded. But for now, stay tuned, guys. It's the Inkcast, episode 1. See you guys later.